What country did this car from?
It no longer exists, but take her for a test drive, and you'll agree. Zagreb Zlotik je.
We're live. Hello and welcome to Put It In H, a Die Hard Simpsons podcast. My name is Terry.
My name is Andy.
Andy, how the heck are you?
Very well, Terry. Very well. And how the hell are you?
I too am well.
Good to hear it.
We are back again this week. How have you been?
I've been well, Terry, like I just said.
What have you been up to then?
I have been doing quite a bit of watching, you'll be glad to know.
Ooh.
And stuff that's right up your alley as well.
Hit me.
First of all, what have you got there?
Why, thank you for asking, Andy.
There was no snap off that can at all.
It'll be there in post. You'll hear it. Don't worry. I'm drinking a classic Whiplash, a Body Riddle Pale Ale.
Friend of the show.
Yes, sponsor us if you like. You okay? Have another.
I was reaching for my drink.
You're interrupting me mid-pour.
Look up so you can see the reveal.
What is that? Nocco?
It's a Nocco BCAA Tropical.
You've lost yourself there with Tropical. They never work out for you, Cantwell.
It's got to be tropical.
They never work out for you. Oh, it's radioactive yellow again.
It's a bit of a kick to it. Cheeky little number.
Yeah. Well, I've made a mess of this pour.
That's all head.
I'm so damn peeved it's going to be all head.
So, Terry, I've been watching since last week. I am totally up to date on WandaVision.
It's good, ain't it?
It's fucking great.
And they're great in it. The two of them are brilliant in it, aren't they?
They are. I love Vision when he's in his human form.
When you just let Paul Bettany be wacky, like, you can't go wrong.
He's
great.
And I know you said last week we're going to sort of...
we'll do an in-depth episode.
Yeah, I'll save all my in-depth analysis. But it's great. I loved the first few episodes. It's really like wholesome but different but still funny, and it's just very different.
I love how there's something sinister going on.
Yeah,
beneath
and
the surface.
Because it's so wholesome, those sinister things really stand out. You're like, oh, what's happening here?
Just like real life.
You weren't lying. Now, I'll move on because I've been watching loads, Terry. First of all, I'm just gonna rip off this Band-Aid quick.
You didn't like it, huh?
You told me to watch Knives Out, which is on Amazon Prime.
Hell yeah!
Yeah. And I did put it on.
I told you that yonks ago.
Yeah, but you messaged me last week and said, do yourself a favour.
I said Widows.
Oh, it was Widows. And I tell you, I looked at the trailer for that and I thought, nah.
Ah!
I know. But Knives Out.
Philistine.
Anyway,
Knives Out's awesome. Don't even say.
I turned it off after about 35 minutes, to be honest.
Oh, come on.
Boring. Not interested in that.
Cool, yeah. I thought I'd opened your mind a little bit. That was in my top 10 of that year.
Of that year? I haven't seen 10 movies in the last 5 years.
Top 10 of 2019. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
It was a lot of too much talking heads, not enough action. You know what I mean? Was that a Wes Anderson joint? I bet you it was. I can tell.
It was a Ryan Johnson joint. You might remember Ryan Johnson directed numerous Breaking Bad episodes, such as the Fly episode. In my opinion, the greatest television episode of all time, Ozymandias, aka the third last episode, where all the shit goes down.
Oh, yeah. It's been so long since I've seen that.
Hey, man, just watch it all again.
I know, okay. I know. So anyway, I moved on to The Midnight Sky.
Haven't had Netflix. The pleasure yet. Haven't had the pleasure yet.
It's kind of shy. I fell asleep towards the end.
Okay.
So, loving these in-depth movie reviews.
So you didn't get to... Does Clooney save the world or whatever?
I got the cliff notes off Kerry the next day. It seemed like I didn't miss much. I think I was drawn by the beautiful thumbnail, to be honest.
Yes. It looks great.
And George Clooney's beard.
Also looks great.
But then I moved on to The Circle.
Is this the Tom Hanks one?
Yes.
Okay.
Have you seen it?
No. He plays like a tech billionaire or something.
Yeah, kind of. And there's this thing
and
called
Hermione,
The Circle.
Isn't it?
Yeah. And, well, like if you work there, you're like all in and all connected. And yeah, you know, it's a weird sort of little culty sort of environment. It was kind of like a longer episode of Black Mirror. But
I've heard it's a dud.
It's a bit of a dud, yeah.
Yeah, I'll be honest.
It was too long.
You watched all of that, but you only made it 35 minutes into Knives Out.
Yeah. 100%.
Terrific little romp, I must say. Yeah,
there was nothing romping about it.
Old man died.
This is Wes Anderson. If it's not Wes Anderson, it's a Wes Anderson light. A Wes Anderson knockoff. This was scene for scene.
Not Wes Anderson at all.
The deep sort of reds and yellows and colourful
like
backgrounds.
Wes Anderson, though?
What?
Do you not like Wes Anderson?
I'm kind of indifferent on him, to be honest, but he's got a very distinctive look to his
movie.
Good
to know. I'll note that down.
No. Yeah, I don't like him. Close the door. Then I moved on to... I've only got two more, and then I'll be done.
Okay.
Moved on to The Visit on Netflix.
Is this the M. Night Shyamalan?
It is.
I own it on Blu-ray. I'm yet to watch it. But I want to watch it.
It was interesting.
This was the one that turned his career around, this
was
movie.
It?
Yeah, because he was pretty much done and then he made this small-scale movie.
Yeah.
And it was like, oh, okay, this is good. Like when he kind of has restraints on him, he can still be good.
Yeah.
And then he made Split after that. Did you see Split?
No.
That's the one with James McAvoy.
Oh, yeah, doing the multiple personality thing, yeah. Oh, and that got good reviews as well, didn't it?
That's good.
He's back, baby.
Well, then he made his sequel to Unbreakable 20 years later or whatever, you know?
Oh, boy.
So what he's doing now is he is financing them himself.
Right.
He's betting on himself, you might say.
Right.
And if it makes money, then it's like he can do what he wants.
Right, okay.
So
he reaps the benefits.
Yeah, I'm intrigued to watch it though.
It was good, and I called the end about halfway through. I'm quite proud of that.
Sundowning, is that what it's about?
Yeah,
kind of, but I don't want to know.
Yeah, but anyway, it was. I would recommend it to the people at home.
I heard it's a short watch.
Yeah, one of the big appeals, to be honest.
You've had four failed attempts over the course of one evening.
Yeah, the last thing I watched, Freaks on Netflix. Have you heard of this? Have you seen this?
Is this the new one?
It was fairly recent, I think. It looked recent enough, anyway.
What's the name of the director? I
What is
know.
The name of the director, Terry? Mr. Movie Buff.
Huh? Oh, I can't. It's not on off the top of my head.
That's weird, because I always figured you as a bit of a movie buff, to be honest.
Yes.
And if you don't know the director of acclaimed,
is it acclaimed? Yeah,
I don't know.
Straight to VOD.
I actually loved it though.
Really?
Yeah, it was very good. It was all about like it's like the future, and freaks are in hiding, and they're trying to sort of not get caught by humans. But like, it's really kind of creepy, but it's superhero-y ish.
Kingy is in it. The Girl Next Door guy, Emile Hirsch.
Yeah, yes, that's who that is.
Yeah,
he was kind of like an unlikable Jack Black in this movie. He had that kind of patchy beard going on, but he just wasn't that likable. But so anyway, that's what I've been doing.
Bruce
Terry.
Dern plays a priest, maybe.
Yeah. Oh, last thing before I let you talk at all on this podcast, 9 minutes in. I got in a little fender bender.
Hello.
weekend.
No, this is what we're here for. We're here for Cantwell's driving.
Fuck's sake. It's always Aldi. It's always Aldi. My car breaks down in Aldi.
It's a war zone.
I was pulling out of a space anyway, but like I was proper, like I was looking, I was checking all this, I was going back, and then all of a sudden, like a car is just behind me, and it was a little like sort of like dump. I was like, I'm looking in the mirror, I'm saying to Carrie, like, did I just hit that fucking car? It's right there. So I got out, and then my car was still kind of like attached to it or something. Oh. So like it wasn't a big thing at all. But I was like, okay, so I had to get back in, drove out a bit, and. Like,
what was your like, man like, or was it a woman?
Luckily, this couldn't have gone better, right? There's a big scratch on her door, right? And I had no damage to my car at all. And I was like, she had a look at the door and she was like, it's okay. And I was like, are you sure? Do you want to like exchange numbers? Like, there's a scratch on your door. She's like, no, it's grand. That's life. And then kind of got back into the car and drove.
Because she knew she was in the wrong. That's
either she knew, because she came out of nowhere, so she must have been going fast, and she may not have had insurance as well. I was thinking after it, but I felt really bad after it that it wasn't all like, all right, like sorry about that or something. Like I was like, I didn't know what to say. I was like, all right, okay. I just got back in the car. So it's in terms of having little fender benders, to be honest, it couldn't have gone better.
But well, look, mazel, a big mazel.
Thank you, Terry. Thank you, everyone. Listen, enough about me. What do you think about me? how have you been?
I've been good. You mentioned Freaks just there.
I did.
I've been watching some Freaks.
Oh, yeah?
Some Freaks and Geeks.
Hello.
On All Four, they got the whole first season, season of Freaks and Geeks.
Isn't that mad?
Yeah, but it's great. I never watched it before.
Had you
not? In fits and starts, like as in, like I'd catch a bit of an episode or whatever.
Yeah, it was very inconsistent back in the day.
Yeah, like T.G. Caher might have. I always remember there was one when Martin Starr dressed up as the Bionic Woman. Like he was there, it's like Halloween, they're going trick or treating or something, and he was dressed up as a woman. That and the other guy was dressed up as Groucho Marx, the small guy. But like that was my only really memory of it. So seeing them all again, like in their youth, like but like seeing how funny they are so young,
it was really funny. Right?
Like Martin Starr, his. His little like micro expressions that he's doing in it. Like,
who's Martin Starr, the little kid, like the main kid?
No, Martin Starr is from Knocked Up. Your man's like, I'm high. You know, the big tall guy. You know, the Schubammer Richard Reed. You know?
Yeah.
So like him, I've been particularly impressed with, like, because he's one of the geeks.
Oh, brilliant.
But like, I say to Faye, like, I don't know. Like, Franco is doing some, like, weird, come on, guys, you know, I'm cool, kind of, almost like 40s gangster. And I'm like, how did he have a career after this? I know he's a very attractive young man, but, like, I don't know, he's a bit grating. And then seeing Seth Rogen as, like, the tough guy.
I know, it's weird, isn't it?
It's weird, because he's so cuddly, like, pretty much after this point.
Yeah, wasn't there a spin-off?
There was another...
Undeclared.
Oh, I remember Undeclared, my friend. Yeah. Great.
You don't have to tell me about
it. Well, I tell you what, because we were chatting about it and I was telling Faye about Undeclared, she's like, never seen it. I dug out the old external hard drive again. And wouldn't you know it, Undeclared was on there. So nice. I've put that on my Mac. So
How long have you had that external hard drive now?
I've had it ages. I just like hadn't done anything with it. Like I've had it since Australia.
I'm nervous about external hard drives because you put so much... You dump so much into them. And what if, like, it gets wet or something? You know what I mean?
Well, that's... Like, this was something that was not being used for seven... No.
I suppose. Listen, I'm getting off topic here. That isn't what we're discussing here.
Freaks and Geeks, though, is very good. And you'll get it on the All Four player.
I remember what endeared me to Freaks and Geeks was when I was watching it. And they were having a conversation and the little kid's like... It was just a line of like, you can't tell me what happens at the end of Stripes, like the movie Stripes.
Yeah.
And I always remember thinking like, because I actually loved that movie, but I was like, but I don't know what happens at the end. And, you know what I mean? I remember thinking like, wow, this show gets me.
Yeah.
You know? Stripes, I think everyone had that feeling.
What a weird, like, of all the Bill Murray ones, like Stripes, like I was more of a Meatballs guy myself.
Haven't seen it.
He's like, it's the same thing. He, instead of him being in the army, he's like a camp counselor, but it's like these guys, and I'm Bill Murray, huh?
Brilliant.
Yeah.
The formula works.
Yeah, absolutely, man. Works
what
until
else
it
you
doesn't. I have been I watched a movie on Sunday night, one of the nights. Anyway, it's called The Little Things. Have you heard of it?
I've heard of it, yes.
It's a new movie, part of this HBO Max thing that they're doing. They're dropping all their
it's fucking vile.
Warner Brothers are dropping all their 2021 new releases on HBO Max.
All right.
In the States.
What's so HBO Max?
It's a streaming service.
Okay.
So it's like HBO's version of Netflix.
Right,
so
okay.
Any new release from Warner Brothers that was going to be in the cinema is now going to their streaming service.
That's a big but get, isn't it?
Well, they didn't tell anybody this. That was the thing. Like, they didn't tell any of the directors that had signed on with them or anything like that. Like,
all right.
So, like,
so was there uproar?
Yeah, pretty much. Like, I remember Christopher Nolan came out and said, like, you know, you thought one day you think you're working for the best studio in Hollywood, the next you find out you're working for the worst streaming service around. Like, so
he should keep quiet after his latest flop. Am I right?
After Tenet.
Yeah, he's getting a little too big for his boots. Coming off a loss.
I think it broke even during a pandemic. Like, he'll be all right. He could literally.
He's finished.
He's one of two filmmakers that could literally say, okay, I'm not working with this anymore, and every other movie studio would be like, hey, come here. Like, I'll tell you what. Like, rolling out the red carpet for him.
Let me
like,
see. I'll tell you what. Let me see what he looks like. I'll give you an instant assessment on whether he's a good guy.
You will notice that he looks like a lot of the protagonists in his film, or he makes them look like him.
Let me see. Oh.
This is terrible.
No, he's a creep.
Yeah, but like, you've seen Inception, yeah?
Yeah.
Like Leonardo DiCaprio style is that. Like Robert Pattinson in Tenet is very much like his style is that. Like,
yeah, all right.
Give them the Nolan is what
he's
he
a
says.
Creep. It's something's like, going to come out about him.
They're like, what way do we want us to dress Robert? He's like, give him the Nolan. But anyway, The Little Things stars.
Good?
No, but it stars Denzel. It's a movie that was written in the 90s, okay?
Yeah.
It's about like a cop hunting a serial killer.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you hit me so far, so
keep
good.
Going.
It's set in the 90s.
Yeah.
It stars Denzel.
Yeah.
And then that's on paper, that's great. But
yeah.
In execution, not so much.
Huh.
They cast your man. You know your man Rami Malek?
The name rings a bell.
He played Freddie Mercury in that Bohemian Rhapsody movie. And I never watched it. He won an Oscar for, you know, that. That just shows you.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That had you done with the Oscars, as I recall.
Pretty much. That and then Joker winning the next year, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Anyway.
They're swept up in the hype.
Anyway, he's in it, and he's supposed to be like the young hotshot detective on the case.
Yeah.
And they picked the guy who was made famous for playing the weird internet loner in Mr. Robot. Like, that's his persona is like socially like maladjusted, like sunken eyes, weird guy.
He
and it's like weird. He's this young charismatic cop on the case, like really badly cast.
Bad cast.
And you throw Jared Leto in there doing.
I don't care for him. To be honest.
No.
I don't
know
if that's just me.
It's weird casting. So that kind of throws it all over the place. I think it could have been good. Denzel, really. I'd give it a B-, and that's just because Denzel.
That sounds very generous, considering you didn't like the movie. A B-.
Like it
come
could,
on, Terry.
It could have been so much better. That's the thing. And there's interesting stuff
give
going
it a
C-. on. No, because Denzel, I tell you, he brings it up.
Okay. Right.
But Look,
I'm not going to watch that.
Don't
then.
Watch it. Don't watch it.
Well, thank you for the heads up, Terry.
It's a dad movie, and when I say dad, it's like Kiss the Girls or something like that. Do you ever Kiss the Girls?
Did I ever kiss a girl?
Do you remember the movie?
You asked me that on the podcast.
How do you think I got this little girl? Right, that sounded weird. Anyway.
Anyway, listen, Terry, on that bombshell, can I talk to you about The Simpsons or do you have more,
anecdotes? Not really, you know.
Okay. Oh, listen, speaking of dad stuff.
Hello.
I had a great idea for a Patreon episode. I don't know if this is a good time to bring it up, to be honest.
Hit me.
I was thinking as I was listening to my daughter's playlist in the car on the way home.
What's on that playlist?
Stuff from like movies, you know what I mean? Like good songs from movies. So it's good.
It's like Moana and stuff?
No, she hates Moana now. But there's Frozen stuff. She likes she likes a bit of Taylor Swift. She likes a bit of One Direction.
Does she like Harry Styles' solo stuff?
No, I'm trying to kind of get her into it.
What's that song? Watermelon High.
Watermelon Sugar High.
Ah, that's the one, yeah.
That's great.
When we were driving to Wexford back in the heady days where you could break your 5K in September, that came on the radio like 5 times. So by the end of the trip, I was a fan of it.
But I was thinking a good idea for Patreon might be like our top 5 like kids songs, of like songs that you have to listen to every day but that you actually love.
It's a weird thing because I have Bonnie listening to my music, so she likes that. But I could just pick my top five African nursery rhymes. Sure,
you can do that. Sure, I was thinking it'd be good, like our kids' top 5 or something, but ones that like we actually think are like.
Yeah, okay, I can work with you on that. But yeah,
we'll figure it out.
Just something on that. I've noticed that the creche has brainwashed my child.
Yes.
Because if I say, oh, we got an Alexa in the house, by the way. I don't know if I said that to you, did I?
No, you didn't.
Faye got it for Christmas. I don't care for her, but when I say...
Everything's great, as you hold up a sign, like, not safe to talk.
But like when I say, Alexa, play Wheels on the Bus.
Yeah.
And it plays. And when Bonnie hears it, she just starts doing this with her hands. Like as in it goes round and round, so she starts her like literally as if she's in a trance or something. she can't stop
looking
doing
at you like stop this, Dad.
But it's like she can't stop doing it. Like
it's like your body just reacts without her knowledge to it.
Then I tested it. I was like, Bonnie, the wheels on the bus, and she just started doing it again.
Just starts crying. It's a trigger. What's happening?
It's a bloody trigger they've put in their brain.
Oh, I tell you what. Listen, I'm gonna crack on here and talk to you about The Simpsons for a little bit, if that's all right with you.
Sure.
And more specifically, Terry, can I talk to you about the 20th episode of season 7, Bart on the Road?
Jesus, we're right at the end.
I know. Wow. I'd be sad to leave season 7, to be honest.
Me too.
It aired on the Fox Network on March 31st, 1996. Written by Richard Appel and directed by Swinton O. Scott III. Our old buddy.
Ah, Swinty.
it's your old college chump, Swinty.
Hi there.
The writing staff had never done a Spring Break episode before, so they thought, what would Lisa and Bart do on a Spring Break? And they came up with the road trip plot. Bill Oakley, the showrunner, said that the road trips were something that the writers liked to write stories about, and the idea of 4 children going on a road trip was so exciting that they immediately wanted to write it.
I mean, it's a great premise. It really is. Like,
and they said themselves, like they were always looking for combinations of characters that had not been done a lot on the show, which is why they went for the 4 characters. They were trying to find a funny place, like a funny, unlikely place for them to go. And they were thrown around Fort Lauderdale, Florida, was suggested.
That would have been a bit on the nose, wouldn't it? Like,
yeah. And Homer and Lisa had not been done too often. And they wanted the two characters to bond and get closer to each other. Which, you know what? I'll save that. I'll save it. It was difficult to animate this episode. And I do remember thinking specifically, it looked very, manual. if no, that isn't the right word. But you know, when the camera is on top of the car, it's like, I'm driving all night.
Yeah, I think that's great looking.
Love that. It's really like authentic. But they said it was hard to animate, one, because the animators had to draw completely new designs for the locations outside Springfield, as well as the car scene. They were using traditional animation without computers, but they had to get one for the scene where the camera spins from the car. It was difficult to animate because it had to look real and not boxy like a truck, as they said.
It's very interesting that, like, you know, that like Scenic Simpsons page?
Yeah.
Like, they have like two t-shirts or something, or three, and like one of them is Bart driving.
Yeah.
With the hair going back or whatever.
And it's used
like,
an
they
awful
chose
lot.
That one, like.
It's used an awful lot in like Simpsons Wave, you know, like those sort of lo-fi beats on YouTube. It's always got like either that or Home or High in the car. Like,
I meant to send you on a thing just with the whole. I don't know if you kept the GameStop.
I've been trying to understand it, to be honest. I think I kind of have it, but yeah.
There was a story on the Simpsons Lab. Do you follow that Instagram page, Simpsons Lab?
I just started to. Our old pal Gary turned me onto it.
Oh yeah, did you see the thing that he was talking
about?
Yeah, like,
amazing.
That was so good, like the
so good.
That's it.
Yeah,
it was essentially Homer, the whole clown college thing, but it was to do with the whole GameStop controversy.
I still don't quite get it, to be honest. I've tried. I've looked.
Let me.
At...
Can I try quickly to explain it to you? So say you want to buy GameStop at 10, right?
Yeah.
You borrow 10 from the dealer or the broker or whatever.
Yeah. You are right the first time, the dealer.
Okay, and then you buy GameStop at 10. And the idea is that it goes when it goes down and you sell and then you buy back. So you sell at 10.
Yeah.
And then you buy back at 5. It means you're making a profit of 5.
Yes.
You with me so far?
Yes,
and
I think so.
What the Redditors had figured out was like this GameStop stock.
It's like short selling or something?
Yeah, so they bought a load of it when the people sold it. So the price went up.
Yeah.
I think I'm saying this right. So it turns out that the price has gone up. So they owe the hedge fund owe so much money because they've borrowed at whatever time. Like,
I don't understand anymore.
Anyway, they all ganged up on Wall Street. It was great.
In principle, from what I understood of it, I liked what I was seeing.
We're gonna get a text or something about this, explaining it better than I could. But
yeah, someone
essentially the hedge fund had to borrow money to trade, hoping that the stock would go down. So then, after they'd sold and bought back, they would buy it low. But when they sold and the price went up, like, they still owed their money.
Right. I think I understand. I'm not in the right frame of mind tonight to be lit.
Well, yeah. Why is that? Why is that?
I'm eating a donut, and I'm tired.
Andy,
anyway,
we're professionals here. Don't be bloody eating on mic.
Listen, you don't want to talk, Mr. Clicky.
Look, that's over and done with, all right? Can we get on to The Simpsons?
Yeah, sure. Yeah. What else have I got? Positive reviews, blah, 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 blah. Yeah.
Okay.
Fine, let's just get on with it.
Have you got your notes ready?
No, I don't, to be honest. Let me just...
Unbelievable.
Okay. My first note is just... Jesus, this is terrible. I can't believe I'm actually eating this. Sorry, everyone.
What are you doing?
I don't know. The arrogance of me to be eating this donut.
You're so comfortable in front of our audience.
I know. Too comfortable. Yeah. It's because I have a tickle in my throat and I've coughed like half a dozen times and the drink's not doing it. So I thought I'll shovel some food in my gob to try and catch whatever it is. And it's not working. Anyway, Skinner having vacation issues.
Eat a lemon.
Funny. Excuse me?
Eat a lemon.
I'm going to tell him to suck a lemon. A lemon? Something stuck in my throat. What's a lemon?
Lemon's really good for throat tickles. Just honey and lemon and some hot water.
Oh.
Or I'll tell you what, a spoonful of honey is actually really good for it.
A spoonful of honey?
Makes the medicine go down.
I'm sorry.
Unbelievable.
Unlistenable, this
We're
podcast.
Definitely going to get more complaints.
My first note is just how funny it is that Skinner's having vacation issues. Just Skinner on the phone hanging with an airline is just funny.
I just love how cheerful your one is. It's like, okay, I've made those. It'll be 1,000 whatever extra. Yeah. Like, he's like, GM Chrysler, I can't afford that.
Mm. And I love when he's like, he's got to think of like a way to close the school or something like that. And
for his benefit. Or could I?
He's like, go to work with your parents, Day. Yes, go to work with your parents, Day. Great, the intercom. Like, brilliant. Just completely made up.
I love Bart's scheme. He wants to go to work, see a woman in the workplace.
Yeah.
And like, he's just sitting on the couch with eating from the box.
That looks so disgusting.
Yeah. And when Lisa is like, why don't you go, you know, see Aunt Patty and Aunt Sam, and just like, he's like, the face, the head on, and just the drip out of the bottom of the box is,
and like he's frozen stiff and they're still talking around them. And I love the fact that, like, Lisa, I don't know why, like, it's so funny where they're like, you can go with your father to the power plant. It's like, I've signed numerous petitions to shut down that plant. Like, see?
Marge, like, please note, homemaker is not allowed as it is not real work. That's why you don't get paid for all. And then with Patty and Sam, I was like, some days we don't let the line move at all.
I love that.
We call them weekdays.
That's been turned into a bit of a meme as well on Reddit, where then it's like, some days we blah, 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 we call that, you know, it's been used for loads. But
like, I think they're really coming out with they're hitting everything quite strong, because then when it's like, oh, well, at least I'm not at the cracker factory. And it's just like Milhouse having the time of his life with his dad, like, and it's so nice. I can see Kirk look like a winner for once.
Yeah, and he's like, he's telling them about how they get add the salt to the crackers.
Brilliant.
And your man's just there. He's like, crackers, ho. And I was like, how do they get the peanut butter in or whatever? It's like, put this on down the pipe.
Yeah,
but I love like the sort of, is the word ambivalence?
Yeah, that's Paddy and Sam have?
That it's like straight away, like, that you have, first of all, the woman on the airline being like, you know, I don't know what you call it. Then you have the letter going like, that's why you don't get paid for it. Mm-hmm. And then like Paddy and Selma just like not letting the line move. It's like, it's really setting the sort of scene. And I think that kind of, in a weird way, it sort of helps the Homer and Lisa sort of angle as it goes, because that's such a, at the other end of the scale.
Yeah.
I will say this first of all, that the relationship between Homer and Lisa in this episode was possibly my favorite part.
Yeah, it's great. It really is. Yeah. And like, you know, you get the immortal line of purple is a fruit. You know, this donut has purple stuff.
Purple's a fruit.
And then, you know, Homer is showing her his job.
But like, I like about this as well, and sorry if I'm jumping the gun here, but what I like about this Homer and Lisa angle is just that, like, there's no, like, Homer hasn't done anything wrong this time.
Yeah.
And won her back. He's just like a good dad from the start.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
It's a really nice slow burn that, like, it could, like, he kind of senses that she's bored out of her tree, and he's just trying to, like, do his best. And then she actually is like, you know what, like, let's make the best of this, and maybe I can do something to make it more fun rather than it being all the onus on my dad.
Yeah, exactly. It was nice. It's weird that they make the because, like, that's the subplot, I guess, and Bart on the road is the main one. It's weird that they made the heartfelt one the subplot, and they had the funny one as the main plot. But I'm glad they did. But it's just you never really see it.
See, there's no way it could be heart with Bart.
Yeah, nice.
Just because the foursome that are there, like, they're all kind of comedy caricatures, or the three that are with Bart. Like, you have the nerd, you have the prissy kid, you have the bully. Like, you know, it's very hard to, in that such a short space of time, to like get earnestness out of it. Whereas Bart, with Homer and Lisa, the relationship is already there, and it, you know, it doesn't take too much bending to get there, like, you know.
It was nice.
There's some great lines that Homer is coming up with, just like, Homer says he's in charge of changing the bulbs, and Lisa's like, how come there's so many burnt out ones? Like, because they won't hire an assistant.
I love the fact that he just thinks his job is changing the bulbs. Yeah. Not responsible for the bulbs like going out. I was a big fan, my next note is, of Martin, speaking of Wall Street.
Yeah.
Where he's like, soy.
I love how like the dad is like, wow, you've made, how much is it, like $1 million in soy? And then like literally like a second, like, and now you lost it all with 600. You got greedy. Yeah. It's like, what did he do? Like,
I know. Poor guy.
Yeah.
The next note I have is slight gaffe in that when Homer and Lisa are spinning around in the safety suits.
Yes.
And the audio clearly has them laughing, yet the visual clearly has them with their mouth closed and just smiling. Are we to believe it's some sort of magic suit?
But well, what would the suit have to do with anything?
I don't know.
It's to do with their mouths.
Sometimes you just take a stab at a word, and sometimes it's the right word, and sometimes it isn't.
Why don't you connect the two wires in your skull?
You take that back.
I did like it. It was a nice little thing with like Homer 13, you know? Like,
yeah. It was nice. I was a fan of the line where Patty and Selma are taking the driver's license. First of all, Cletus with the and she's like, just have to laminate it. You'll get it in 2 weeks.
2 to 3 weeks. And then like Bart does his license. Milhouse looks at it, it's like 25. He's like, you're not 25. This idea That's is completely fake.
I like the fact they go and see Naked Lunch, which I think the road trip plot is actually based off, unless I'm mistaken. I think I've seen it somewhere on the Wikipedia page that I have open. No, I closed it, so we'll never know. But I like the line where Nelson's like, I can think of at least two things wrong.
You're definitely wrong, and I knew you were wrong as well. What? Like, Naked Lunch.
Yeah? What about it?
Blank-faced bug killer Bill Lee and his dead-eyed wife like to get high on Bill's pest poisons while lounging with beat poet pals.
Now, you're about to be humiliated in front of the millions.
Okay.
Bart and his friends use Bart's fake license to see the R-rated 1991 film
David Cronenberg, yeah. It's exactly
it's
what I
important.
Said.
It's not important.
It's exactly what I said.
Yeah, it's pretty much confirming exactly what you said there. Yeah. So
I knew it wasn't to do with a road trip. Now, the other Cronenberg one you might be thinking of is...
Oh, God.
Crash?
Oh, of course. I was thinking of Trash.
No, Crash.
Oh boy, this isn't going well, is it? I love Trash. What is this? Anyway.
So do you want to know the plot summary of Crash?
Sure.
Okay. Crash is about the strange lure of auto collision.
What? Say it again?
So it's about the strange lure of auto collision.
The strange lure of auto collision.
Yeah, I think it's about people who get off sexually by watching car crashes.
Paraphiliacs? Of the Troy McClure variety from last week?
It's James Spader in an open marriage.
Okay, say no more, you have me.
Let me see. Nah, it doesn't matter anyway.
No.
But I think it's about, they get off with car crashes.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
Yeah.
Horses for courses, as they say, Terry.
I mean, it's right in Spader's wheelhouse.
It is, to be honest. Smack dab, right inside his wheelhouse.
It's a documentary, I believe.
When they went with the fake ID to Moe's.
Yeah.
And I look like...
Sorry, Mr. S.
I love that. Sorry, Mr. S. We got to check everybody.
Yeah.
So I take it as a compliment.
Yeah. Hey, join the party.
And there's something, again, I don't know why, I just love nighttime Simpsons. Like, I love just the scene of them in the car on the way home, Bart handing out the envelopes in the car, and it's just, it's nighttime, it's just, it's different. I don't know why, it just appeals to me.
Yeah, and like,
love the nighttime, yeah.
You know, they rent the car for with the 600, and then they have his Martin and his dog, Flipsy.
Flipsy.
And then Milhouse just chucks it out like, oh, not Milhouse, fact, Nelson.
Nelson. And the fact that they're even going to a grammar rodeo.
Well, I just love like the different readings. It's like Milhouse just reading it off the page. Martin has it memorized. Yeah. Nelson just like, going away for a week. See ya.
There's a big fan of when he's in the car, he's like, grammar rodeo. First he's hearing about it, like,
we're not going to a grammar rodeo, Milton. Martin.
Milton.
Yeah. I love that. And I we'll get to it in a little bit. It's actually one of my top five favorite lines in The Simpsons ever.
Which is?
We'll get to it.
Okay.
But I do love, I tell you what, Marge is still killing it these days.
She was great in this one again.
She's like, I wish I were going. Oh, wait. I wish I was going. Is that right, Bart?
Lisa's immediately skeptical. Yeah. Like.
And the whole Dorcas Malorcas. That's not Latin.
And again, Marge, when like the next note that I have here is when Homer calls.
Yeah.
He like, wants to hang out with Lisa. I love that. It's like, homie, hello. I can't remember the last time you called me. Oh
you want to speak with Lisa?
Like, I know you like, you're thinking poor Marge, but she actually plays that very well.
Yeah.
Just like, she's so excited, and they'd be like, yeah.
The whole excitement when they're in the car, and like you say, that great scene of Radar Love, and then Milhouse being like, a cup holder, we gotta get a cup. You know, and then he's in the back, Bart's in the back, like, everybody going okay back here?
Yeah.
Martin, always a pleasure. And it's just the cruise control straight into the cornfield. Great animation. Like.
Yeah, it was. It was very satisfying seeing that car go through the cornfield. Yeah. It's, and now, oh yeah, I was going to say, why did I write this now? When Homer and Lisa are at work and they get all the candy from the machine. And like, I love how easily Smithers is swayed. Where he's like, I am partial to Jolly Ranchers.
Good work, Simpson.
Simpsons.
Yeah. Just like, a little, like,
that's all it takes.
The little extra, like, oh, have him speak with his mouth full. That kind of little touch.
Yeah.
You know, like, and he's so content now, like.
And, like, yeah, because you can tell he doesn't get little moments like that during the day or working for Mr. Burin.
So you get that, yeah, we said that whole, they end up going to the World's Fair, they're going to Knoxville.
Yeah.
And then you get this, the most famous scene of the episode.
You kids can't keep your heads to yourself. I'm gonna turn this car around and there'll be no Cape Canaveral for anybody. That's it. Back to Winnipeg.
I mean, it's such a classic.
But like, just the animation of this guy that is just at his his boiling point. And the sound of like Nelson's like twack.
The fact that like you only see them for like a second, and like you just get a little glimpse into this hell that they're having, and Nelson like and doesn't hesitate.
The fact that it's like back to Winnipeg, like or back to Canada,
so far,
oh, so good.
Is that one of your top five? Is that the one you're?
No, saying? The bit is next where it's like, Bart, can we stop for ice cream? It's like, yes, like. Like, can we weigh at the weigh station? Like, yeah. Like, can we pick up that hitchhiker? I was like, I don't see why not. And then your man's like, can we stop for ice cream? Like, yes. And then it's just like silence in the other ice cream cone. Like, well, I didn't think I was rehabilitated, but I guess they needed the extra bed. And it's like that poor so-and-so in the back of the car. Like, nobody's even talking to him. And he's just in there.
What's going on with his life?
But I guess they needed the bed. Like, I just love it. It's people at The Simpsons at this point in their careers, writing at their peak, and literally can be like, how about this? I'm just going to throw this one out here. Like,
yeah.
And
that's the joke
you
that you would never see in like season four.
They're so confident. Like, and yeah. like, it's like, just try and stop me. Try and look, I'm telling you it's funny. You know it's funny.
Tell me it's not funny.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Show yeah. me how this doesn't work. And I'm giving them a cheers.
Brilliant. Yeah. I love it. Then when they actually get to...
Before we get to the World's Fair, we get to...
That's where I was going.
Oh,
the,
sorry.
The old Andy Williams.
Yes.
What's the name of the town they're in?
Nashville, is it?
Oh, is it Nashville? I know it's a little advertisement for Lurleen Lumpkin.
No,
as
Branson,
they drove by.
Branson, Missouri.
There's a little Lurleen Lumpkin show on that they drove past, as I recall.
They go back to Branson in a future episode.
Do they?
Yeah, they go back to Branson. I think Grandpa goes back. But the Simpsons get off at Bronson, Missouri.
Oh.
It's just a load of Charles Bronsons.
What?
You don't remember that gag?
No.
He's like, we finally made it to Bronson. It's like, yeah, you're in Bronson, Missouri. And it's just like a load of Charles Bronsons.
What's this, like season 19?
I guess like season 12 or 13.
What?
Like, yeah.
Oh, God.
But Andy Williams, I'm a big fan of Andy Williams.
I like him too. I love the fact that Nelson's such a big fan.
Yeah, it's so great. Like,
uh-huh.
He's but then wham, second encore.
That's like you and Robert Goulet.
My very friend, Moon River.
He's great.
Yeah.
The first note is, again, love the fact that Homer wants Lisa around for no ulterior motive, asking about her crush and all this sort of stuff, like really getting into it.
Yes.
But the next, where one of the biggest laughs I got in the episode, when Marge is watching TV, and you just hear on the TV she's watching like a hypnosis for real estate, and it's like, why waste your powers on coworkers and neighbors?
And like, just when she goes up to Maggie and she's like, like, and then like. Does the little poke, nothing. Then it's like a real prod.
Yeah.
Oh, Maggie, come here.
Would you ever do that?
No.
Would you ever dance with the devil like that?
No chance. It's a ticking time bomb. Start going back to the 5:30 wake up calls now.
Hey,
how about that? Huh?
How about that?
No thanks.
I was thinking you must have been up when I got a text from you the other day at like 2:20 in the morning.
Yeah. What day was that?
Monday?
Yeah,
Monday.
Yeah. Yeah, that was a bad night.
That was a rough one, was it?
Yeah. Oh, God, it was. I was going to my month end in work as well, so, you know.
That's always a fun time.
Yeah, absolutely. I want to just talk about Homer and Lisa when he's asking about Langdon Ulger.
Yeah.
And he's like, do you have a crush on anyone? And she's like, Dad. He's like, I don't tell anyone. And I just love that voice. Like,
he's like, it's like a little, like proper like slumber party vibes.
I won't tell anyone. Like, I've already forgotten. It was Larson something, right?
The next thing I have here is that there's a line that I think of all the time from this episode where they get to the World's Fair.
Used to be.
Yeah. Back in 1982.
Yeah.
I say that all the time. Used to be.
My favourite of his lines is like, you boys gonna buy some wigs or ain't you?
Big frown on his face. Like, he suddenly turns
like,
angry.
Why are they beholden to this guy?
I know. You gonna buy
you
some
mean
wigs
the wig sphere? And then the four of them with their wigs. Whose wig did you think was the best?
I think Milhouse's one, to be honest.
The pink one?
Yeah.
I was all in on Nelson's one. The like purple fro.
Oh yeah. How did the sphere tower fall again?
Nelson
kicked it or something?
Throws a rock at it and it falls and crushes the car. We're stranded.
After Martin blows their last money on a talking Al Gore doll.
I mean, it's $10. It weren't really gonna get far, really.
That's, again, a line that we use a lot when we're testing our microphones before a podcast.
You are hearing,
you are
me, talk.
Hearing me talk.
So
brilliant.
you get a couple of great little vignettes here with the boys trying to make their way home. Bart selling the glasses to the antique Coke bottle guy.
300, 400, 500
Israel has like, hey, I need those.
It's like 500, 400, 300, 200, 100.
A regular
zero.
Andy Cantwell.
I'd argue if I could, Terry.
Yeah. Then they're trying to jump on the freight train. That's no good.
Yeah, I always laughed at that when they throw their bags and then it just speeds off.
Bart becomes a courier then.
But your unlaminated, out-of-state driver's license is enough for me. Brilliant.
He goes to where? Hong Kong?
Yeah, Singapore, I think.
Yeah. Human eyes. No, it's Hong Kong.
Hong Kong, yeah.
And then, the line was like, Simpson, how'd you like to escort 300 Big Macs to Marlon Brando's Island?
I guess Marlon Brando, like, when did he
die? Alive. No, he was alive. I think he died in the early 2000s.
Really?
Yeah.
He was in You Rock My World.
Yes, video. Exactly. He was
of
huge.
Of course, like, his best role, to be honest.
Yeah, definitely wasn't The Godfather or On the Waterfront.
We watched On the Water. See, we watched On the Waterfront for school.
Yeah, you would appreciate it more now.
I'd probably appreciate it now. I didn't like it.
I tell you what, if you were watching it for a podcast, you'd appreciate it more. Because
it's the only way I'm going
to
watch it.
Quite frankly, any other thing, you can't seem to hold your attention.
Listen, Knives Out was giving me bupkis. At least The Visit had something.
It's funny. Did you get to Chris Evans showing up at least?
I left the room. I came back. I meant to tell you this. I came back and Chris Evans is on the screen. And Kerry's like, this is why Terry likes this movie.
I love it because he's off the leash. Eat shit.
Oh, brilliant. I didn't even get that far.
Oh, he's throwing expletives around.
Oh, brilliant. The next thing, when Lisa tells Homer and his face goes red, but his face doesn't change.
Excuse me. And he goes into the way she tells him as well is brilliant. Like,
yeah.
He's like, Bart ran in that car with a phone, his driver's license, and drove Milhouse, Martin, and Nelson 2 week in Knoxville, and they got the car crushed, and they're out of money. They can't get home, and Barks is working as a courier and just came back from Hong Kong.
Yes.
That's a real pickle. Could you excuse me for a moment? And when it's steaming up, like, as he's screaming so much.
I seen a good meme about that where it was like, it just had Homer's red face and the caption was like, when you have spaghetti in a Tupperware.
Yeah.
like after your Tupperware.
I love Homer's like, all right, I have thought this through. I will send Bart the money to fly home. I will murder him.
But the way they get him back
is genius. Where
it's like, Springfield says your T-47, T-437 is operational. Like, oh God.
Oh my God. And like this time watching, I was like, it's only just dawned on me how reckless that is. Like,
Same here. I never really got the reaction until now. Where it's
and then like Bart like, just being
you're
like,
operating without a T-437, Springfield.
Yellow Oak Ridge.
then when Bart gets back from the grammar rodeo, I loved his like. He clearly had it prepared.
Too commercial.
It's getting too commercial. They've forgotten it's supposed to be about the grammar.
Yeah. And look, Marge is just so happy, you know. And then you get it's just a great ending. I think the phone calls is just a great, like a genius way to just end it. Like, it's all been wrapped up. We're just going to throw a little something else in there.
Throw a little hot sauce on
there. It's like, no, Bart has not been to Hong Kong. Tennessee State Police. No, my son's car was not crushed in Knoxville. I don't know where to begin to tell you what's wrong with that. And it's like, hello? No, Bart is not available tomorrow to deliver a human kidney to Amsterdam. Maybe putting the stank on Amsterdam there.
And like, I never wondered why Homer starts laughing then, because isn't he enraged as well?
Yeah, but I think he's made his peace with that at this stage. Because him and Lisa were like, they know the jig, what the jig is.
Brilliant.
Yeah. Well, great episode.
I mean, stop you right there.
No, I want to keep talking about how great it is.
No, stop it. We're going to get into ratings.
We want you to tell us what you think and be honest, because no one from the show is here spying on you.
What did you think of it?
I thought it was great. Really, really good. It's just a very enjoyable episode.
Yeah.
Some great lines, some big laughs. I don't know if I was laughing as much as I was per second last week, or you know, grinning as much, but it still holds up really, really. It's on the stretch of, what do we have before Troy McClure?
Bart the Fink, was it?
Oh yeah, it's just continuing a really strong run here of episodes. If I'm gonna give an MVP, it's gonna be Marge.
Nice.
Yeah. I love the heart that was in it. You know, like you say, they balance both stories. They did the old Seinfeld trick where the dovetail right at from the start to the
they're
end.
They're all gone apart and they all come back together.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Really good. It's, you know.
Rating?
A rating, I'm going to give it a solid 9.
Oh. Wasn't ready for that.
Good, 9. Good episode.
Okay, Terry. Well, I'll tell you what. I agree. I also loved it. I thought, loved the Homer and Lisa stuff. I loved the fact that he's just, you know, a good dad. It was great. I would just be repeating myself at this stage, but very good. My MVP, for some reason, immediately after this episode, my MVP was Nelson.
He was really good in it, though,
I like him.
Grammar Rodeo.
And his Andy Williams
reaction. Yeah. And that's the other thing, that they kind of give most of the characters in it a moment to shine. Like, you know, they give Nelson his moment. They give Martin his stock market moment. Milhouse has the cracker factory, plus loads of other stuff. Milhouse is really good in this episode as well.
Milhouse is great. Yeah, you know, Milhouse is always great. I will give it an 8.8.
Oh,
Terry.
Hello. Getting closer on these.
I know, right? Huh? You know what we got coming up next week?
22 short stories about the people of Springfield.
That's not the title.
What is it then?
22 short films about Springfield.
Whatever.
So, huge difference in what you just said there.
That monkey's going to pay.
Listen, have you got a spare plug, Terry? Because I want to plug.
I want to plug something before you plug us, because I want to plug our pal Dankmus, who does our theme music. And if you haven't listened to him, he actually does one on Winnipeg. I think his latest one is on Back to Winnipeg. You'll find it on his YouTube page, Spotify. All this stuff. We're very thankful for Dankmus for giving us his theme song here. Quite frankly, I can't imagine the podcast without it anymore.
Yeah, it's just part of who we are.
Yeah, absolutely. So why don't you tell me, now that I've got my plug for Dankmus out of the way, that's Dankmus, care of Benicon. Why don't you tell me where the good folks can find us online?
The internet, Terry, frankly. And you can find us on Instagram. You can find us on Twitter. Same handle, at Put It in H Podcast. You can find links to all we do pretty much on both, but particularly Instagram, where you can find the latest episodes every week. You can find our Patreon. You can find our merchandise. You can find lots of stuff there.
Did you say Patreon?
Yes, I did, Terry.
Why?
Well, you got something to say.
Yeah, if you find us on Patreon, Put It in H Pod, you'll find a cavalcade of goodies locked behind the paywall, you can unlock it for the low fee of $5 a month. Now, behind said paywall, you will get 2 episodes per month of our sister podcast, What's So Great About. Andy at the moment is curating a lovely little mini series. He's trying to tell me what's so great about the 90s movie?
Action movies.
Oh, we narrowed it down.
The title changes all the time, to be honest. Yeah. But essentially 90s great 90s
movies.
We've
got the bombastic 1996.
Thank you.
Hit Broken Arrow in the can. I think next week we've got the Arnold Schwarzenegger mega blockbuster. I think at one time it was the most expensive movie ever made. True Lies.
Oh, I am so excited to watch True Lies.
I'm a bit trepidatious.
I love the fact that you said that you don't remember it as fondly, because I remember it in nothing.
You know what?
I have a lot of respect
for Cameron. It'll be low on my list of Cameron, I guess. So I'll be. I hope. I'm pleasantly surprised.
I hope so too.
For the other 2 weeks of the month, when we're not doing What's So Great, but you get a couple of, you know, random
wild cards.
Yeah, they're like a jazz set, really. You know, loosey goosey, easy breezy, whatever you want to say.
We've gone with the flow.
We take the bull dance. We take requests. We've done ones on.
We depend on them, actually.
We've done one on. Our dream festivals, where we create our own festival to our needs. We've done one on our dream casts, where we come up with our, you know, favorite movie ideas. We've done one on The Last Dance, you know, the Michael Jordan documentary series.
We've just put one up, I guess, by the time you're listening to this, on our perfect day.
Yeah.
we both describe what our perfect day looks like from start to finish. So yes,
there's lots of good stuff. It's all happening over on the Patreon. Really, it is.
I feel like we spend at least 10% of the. I know it isn't, but I feel like it's like 10% of the podcast that we plug our Patreon at the end.
This is what podcasts are nowadays. The amount of podcasts I listen to, and it's shameless self promotion.
Great. Okay,
we give them about 3 minutes at the end.
Okay, and it's at the end. It's not in the middle of a conversation.
Oh, God.
But if any sponsor does want to sponsor us, we will riddle the podcast throughout with your sponsors if you'll give us the slightest bit of attention.
If you go to the Patreon, you'll get them ad-free. How about that? There's a strategy you can hang your hat on.
Excellent.
Now, if you can't afford the Patreon, fair enough. It's a pandemic.
Is it?
Times are tough. I know all about it, but unlike Marlon Brando, who needed 300 Big Macs, all I need for you to do is give me 5 stars. 5-star review is all is needed.
Are you typing?
No.
What's the clicking sound?
My hands are here.
You keep those hands where I can see them, and let me see if I hear that typing again.
I'm not typing anything.
I'm sorry. People aren't supposed to see this side of me, the off-mic version.
Well, you just interrupted my lovely spiel. It's not me. It definitely isn't me. It's you.
Do you hear that? Someone on the line?
Well, this has become a train wreck. Anyway, give me 5 stars, a rating, a review. My perfect Marlon Brando bit has gone out the window.
You don't know
how long I spent thinking of a bit for today.
You don't need to spend any time.
I do need it. Obviously, I do.
Just say 5 stars, please.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah, that's going to get us some 5-star reviews. Huh?
Thank you to the people who have given 5-star reviews and who have signed up to the Patreon. And just, you know what? Just thank you if you're listening to us.
Yeah, you're really helping support the podcast by tuning in. You're a pal.
Yeah.
You're not one of our players club, which you would be if you signed up for the Patreon.
You like just that new saying. Design, huh?
Huh?
Mm.
Huh? Mm.
Oh, we're having a good time here, huh?
We're forgotten song. I'm almost there. Gotta keep cool now, gotta take care. Last car to pass, here I go. And the line of cars drove down real slow. And the radio played that forgotten song. Brenda Lee's coming on strong. And the newsman sang his same song.